Well, hello, I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. I'm Tom Cooper, and I'm so glad that you've joined me for this lesson. Today, we are talking about character. When the going gets tough and you're up against the wall, are you able to push through and really deliver, or do you sometimes feel like you just can't make it happen? And if that's the case, this week's lesson is for you. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. Social researcher Angela Duckworth said, "Our potential is one thing. What we do with our potential is quite another. And Lead Yourself First is your system to help you take advantage of your potential. Growing in your character is a way that's going to help you today and every day. And what does it take to get to success? I've seen people who had less talent than I had who moved ahead. And I was frustrated about that. What was their secret? Their secret was that they had learned some skills that I didn't learn. They knew some things I didn't know. And so they were able to take advantage of these sometimes hidden skills like perseverance. And those skills led to amazing accomplishment for them. And what I discovered is that there were critical skills that anyone could acquire to grow in leadership and influence and getting things done with other people. And I wish somebody had told me these things when I was a younger guy, because I wasted a lot of time not knowing. Now, as I get ready for this lesson, before we jump in, I always ask, how are you going to act? Because fundamentally, it doesn't matter what happens in the lesson itself. What matters is what happens in you, and how are you changed, and what are you going to do? So think about ACT as an acronym: apply, change, and teach. What's something you can apply, something you can use, something you can do as a result of being here for this lesson? And what's something you can change? Maybe it's something you're doing one way now and you're going to change to do it a different way in the future. Or what's something you can teach? And I don't mean get on a call like this. What I mean is, what's something you can share with other people? Now, I've been looking forward to this lesson. I say that a lot, but I always look forward to lessons like this because I know that there is a very strong link between character and achievement. And there are a lot of factors that play into personal character. And we're going to talk about really one primarily today that has to do with our ability to get things done. And I think it's going to be very practical and very helpful for you. And over the next few minutes, I'm going to be working with you to go over some incredible ideas about achievement that are directly related to your personal character. And if you take hold of one of these ideas and you begin to implement it, you begin to apply what we're talking about, you're going to win. And you might want to be thinking about, maybe you want to dig in and you want some more accountability. You want some more tools or support on the journey. At the end of the lesson today, I'm going to share with you a way that we can do some work on that together. Fair enough? So let's jump right in. So when it comes to our ability to achieve, good character, honesty, and integrity are critical to our success. Now, we've got an upcoming lesson in Lead Yourself First on integrity, and we're going to touch on that briefly today. But for most of today's lesson, we're going to talk about one other aspect of character that's important to your success, and it's perseverance. But first, let's talk for a minute about honesty. There are two leading researchers on leadership, Kuzes and Posner, and they have written extensively on leadership. And here's what they say about the role of character in leading other people. They say, in almost every survey conducted, honesty has been selected more often than any other leadership characteristic. Of course, we want to work with somebody who's honest. We want to work with a person of good character. Now, I had a job shortly after college where I was standing in my boss's office, and he was on the phone with an irate customer. And the problem that the customer was having could only be solved by dispatching someone to that customer's office. Now, unfortunately, that customer was about 90 minutes away. While I'm standing in front of my boss, he's on the phone with this irate customer. He tells the customer, "My guy left an hour ago." He was talking about me. I'm immediately in trouble, because even if I ran out the door and I jumped in the car and I sped all the way to, there's no way I'm going to cover 90 minutes worth of travel in 30 minutes. So as soon as I arrive, now the customer's mad at me for being an hour later than they expected me to be. And what was I going to do? Tell my boss had lied? That was not the first lie he told, and it wasn't the last one he told me. And I could not stand to work for a liar. I lasted about 10 months in that job, and as soon as I could find a way out, I took it. We really can't stand it when other people lie to us. But why am I wasting time in a lesson on personal character talking about other people lying? What does that have to do with me? Well, nobody likes to work with a liar. But before you can work with somebody else, who do you rely on every day? You rely on yourself. And if you can't trust you, you are done. So let me ask, can you trust you? Character is an inside job, and you need to get real with yourself. If you can't trust you, nobody else can trust you. It starts with you. Now, I've seen online from time to time on social media, people get upset because they see people with whom they disagree who operate in a hypocritical way. And we just can't stand it when people don't do what they say they will do. But if I'm going to be really transparent with you on this call, I'm going to have to tell you that probably the biggest hypocrite I know is me. I know what things to do, but I often don't do them. I say I believe that hard work trumps talent, but then I don't do the hard work. I tell myself I want to be healthier, but then I choose to eat poorly. I know what I want. I often just don't do it. Has that ever happened to you? I'll go to the gym tomorrow. But tomorrow comes and goes, and you don't make it to the gym. I'll eat better tomorrow. But then that new donut shop opens up near you, and you got to try that out, right? If we're able to be honest with ourselves, we've got to admit that we drop the ball, and sometimes I drop the ball almost as soon as I touch it. The first step in trying to fix that is recognizing the problem, and recognizing that I've become that person, that's the first step into fixing the issue. So what do you do to stop being that guy? How can we develop the character to really even be able to trust ourselves to follow through? How do we build trust? Trust is built when what we expect matches what we experience. I'll repeat that. Trust is built when what we expect matches what we experience. So the way to be better able to trust ourselves is to more consistently follow through on the things we say we will do. Do what you say you will do. Do what you say you will do. But there is a force at work against us. It's the force of our power to make excuses. We are relentless when it comes to making excuses for ourselves. I'm going to drop a bomb on you right now. We judge ourselves by our intent. We judge others by the impact their actions have on us. I want that to sink in for just a moment. We judge ourselves by our intent, but we judge others by the impact their actions have on us. As long as we're willing to give ourselves a break and say it's okay because we intended to do differently, we're just lying to ourselves. We are putting ourselves in a position that cannot stand outside scrutiny. Nobody looking at you from the outside would say that what you're saying is right. And that limits our effectiveness. We just cannot achieve when others can't trust us to follow through. So let me go back to that, diet example I gave earlier. I intend to do better about my eating habits, but then I see those cookies that my daughter made, and they were delicious. The reality is calories count no matter what my intentions were. Facts don't care about my intentions, and neither does anybody else when my actions lead to an unpleasant impact on them. They only care about the impact I had on them. I've got a friend who's looking for advice and help with his career. Now, two times recently, he's reached out to me for help, and twice, I have totally dropped the ball. Now, I'm not sure why I've dropped the ball, but I have. I could make 1,000 excuses about it. I could tell myself it's not my fault, but it is my fault. And regardless of whose fault it is, and it's mine, but regardless of whose fault it is, my inaction has led to an impact on my friend that's a bad impact. I'm hurting my relationship with him by my choices. I intended to not drop the ball because I like to think of myself as a good person who helps people. And I often am helpful. But in this case, I'm not helping him. And the impact on him is happening on multiple levels. On a practical level, he's just not getting the advice that he wants from me. And so his progress is being slowed down. From a relationship perspective, he's probably wondering why I'm not helping him. Is something wrong with our relationship? On an emotional level, my failure even to acknowledge his request probably causes him to wonder why I'm rejecting him and if I'm angry at him. So in my head, I can tell myself that I'm a good guy who helps people, and this is one case where I blew it. But my friend is going to look at me and say, Tom is blowing me off. And it's slowing me down, and it's emotionally upsetting. And that choice that I make to not follow through, to not help that guy, is harming my effectiveness with him. And the fact that I've let it be okay with myself to blow him off, and look, I could make an excuse, but based on results, I have let it be okay with me to do that. That's hurting me in ways I can't even see today. And as long as I'm failing to be honest with myself about the impact I have on other people, I'm not going to achieve the successes that I'm after. So how do we begin to really fix it? One place to start is in personal reflection. Is there any way right now that I'm giving myself a break and I shouldn't? How about you? Is there some way you're giving yourself a break but you shouldn't? Now, I want to jump in here quickly, and I want to say one other thing. My mentor, Paul Martinelli, is quick to say, be gentle and easy on yourself. It's easy to jump all over ourselves when we realize we've blown it, but and we can be our own worst critic. We can say things to ourselves that we would never allow others to say to someone we love. We need to be gentle and easy on ourselves. When my wife and I were dating, we went dancing, and we took some dancing lessons. Now, anybody who knows me knows that that's not a natural talent for me. And our dance instructor passed on some excellent advice that applies to dancing. It also applies to other areas. He said, at some point, you'll find yourself out of step with your partner, and it may be your fault or it may be your partner's fault. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Men, when you find yourself out of step with your partner, I want you to say, I'm sorry. I seem to have made a mistake. Can we start again? Now, I want you to notice in that statement, there's no anger, there's no defensiveness, there's no accusation. And what if instead of when we recognize that we've dropped the ball, because our default is probably to be hard on ourselves. So what if instead of that, we said, you know, instead of saying, I'm so stupid. I can't believe I did that. You know better than that. What is wrong with me? What if I said, I'm sorry, I seem to have made a mistake. Can we start again? What kind of impact would that have? How would that change for you? And also, if you tend to blow it from time to time, the fastest way to build trust is to follow through, to do what you say you will do. So start small. You set achievable daily goals and you hold yourself accountable to take action every day. When you start to build that pattern of follow-through, you're going to be shocked at the amount of progress that you're able to make. Big progress comes from little steps. And what we're finding in the social science research, contemporary social science research, it's validating things that the experts have known for ages. In recent years, Angela Duckworth talks about a character quality she calls grit. 100 years ago, there was a psychologist at Stanford who studied 300 of the highest achievers, and she concluded that people who stick to their goals have that tenacity, that ability to persevere. Years after that, in 1937, Napoleon Hill wrote the book Think and Grow Rich, and in his book, he talked about that same character quality. He called it perseverance. Now, over his lifetime, Hill interviewed more than 25,000 people about success and failure, and he interviewed personally the 500 wealthiest people in the world. And he asked them about what were the things that led to their successes. Hill writes, and I think this is gold, "There may be no heroic connotation to the word persistence, but the quality is to the character of the man what carbon is to steel. Adding carbon strengthens steel, and adding perseverance strengthens people." I'm going to read that quote again. "There may be no heroic connotation to the word persistence, but the quality is to the character of the man what carbon is to steel." That ability to persevere strengthens your character, and it's a virtuous cycle, because you do it, and then it strengthens you, and then you're able to do it more easily the next time, and it strengthens you, and then you're able to do it more easily the next time, and it builds and builds and builds. Hill says lack of persistence is one of the major causes of failure. Now, we know that people who are the champions, they invest in persistence. But even champions can improve. Now, I'm not a big basketball fan, but I wanted to share this story from Zig Ziglar. He was talking about the all-pro center for the Houston Rockets, Hakeem Olajuwon. This is from many years ago now, but the year before they won their first championship against the New York Knicks, Olajuwon realized that as the team leader, his responsibility was more pronounced than anyone else's, and he acknowledged that he had a weakness in his game, which was the 15-foot jump shot. Now think about it. Here's a player who earned a multi-million dollar income, and he had been all-pro for 6 consecutive years. However, he felt the team would not be able to win the championship until he improved his shooting from 15 feet. Before the 1993-94 season, he went to the gym every day, and he practiced 500 15-foot jump shots. That's an incredible test of building strength, endurance, and improvement in performance. And in 1994, when the Rockets defeated the Knicks in 7 games, there was only one game with more than a 5-point difference in the score. And replays would reveal that if Hakeem had not improved his shooting percentage from 15 feet, the New York Knicks would have won instead of the Houston Rockets. That same year, he became the only player in NBA history to win the MVP, the Finals MVP, and Defensive Player of the Year awards in the same season. Now, if you have great talent like Olajuwon, and you combine it with effort, you're going to see dramatic improvements. Now, do you think that every single day he wanted to shoot 500 shots? Do you think he ever thought after 100 jump shots, you know what, I've had enough for today, I'll shoot 1,000 tomorrow to make up for it? No, he didn't. He made a promise to himself, and he kept it, and it led him to a significant achievement. And we saw from that 100-year-old Stanford research and from Napoleon Hill's research almost 100 years ago that perseverance matters. But based on current research, today Angela Duckworth concludes, and I want you to catch this because this is powerful. "I discovered that grit predicts professional and academic success. Grit predicts professional and academic success, and grit is unrelated to talent and intelligence. Your habit of persistence protects you against failure." Now, it is not that you will not have any obstacles. You will have obstacles. It's not that you'll avoid failure. You will fail. But if you see defeat as a temporary setback and nothing more, then it changes the way that you can keep going. So let me check in with you. What about you? Are you really committed to your results? If you are committed to your results, you will persist. You'll have the grit and the determination you need to succeed. Let me talk to you about a couple other very high-performing individuals. Hotelier Conrad Hilton said, "Achievement seems to be connected with action. Successful men and women keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit." Jack Ma, who's the founder of the website Alibaba and a man worth $29 billion, had a lot of failure on his journey to success. He said, "I failed 3 times in college. I applied 30 times to get a job, but I've always been rejected. When KFC came to China for the first time, there were 24 to apply, and I was the only one to be dismissed. I wanted to go into the police, and I was the only one not to be accepted. I applied 10 times to return to Harvard University and was rejected. Mark Cuban, billionaire businessman, said, "I've learned that it doesn't matter how many times you failed. You only have to be right once. I tried to sell powdered milk, and I was an idiot lots of times, and I learned from them all." What do these guys have in common in addition to being very wealthy? They were willing to keep trying, to keep going, to persist even in the midst of failure after failure after failure. They developed grit, and it paid off. Do not quit. All progress, no matter how slow, is progress. Came across this story in the book called The Best of Success. The authors tell the following story. The year was 1983. In Australia, the long-distance foot race from Sydney to Melbourne was about to begin, covering 875 kilometers, more than 500 miles. About 150 world-class athletes had entered for what was planned as a six-day event. So race officials were startled when a 61-year-old man approached and handed them his entry form. The man's name was Cliff Young, and his racing attire included overalls and galoshes over work boots. At first, they refused to let him enter. So he explained that he'd grown up on a 2,000-acre farm with thousands of sheep. His family could not afford horses or tractors, so when the storms came, his job was to round up the sheep, and sometimes it would take 2 or 3 days of running to do that. Finally, they let Cliff enter, and the race began. The others quickly left him way behind as he shuffled along in his galoshes. But Cliff did not know that the plan included stopping each night to rest, so he kept going. By the fifth day, he had caught them all. He won the race, and he became a national hero. He continued to compete in long-distance races until well into his 70s. He was an inspiration to millions and a great encourager of younger runners. In his honor and memory, in 2004, the year after his death at age 81, the organizers of the race where he first gained fame permanently changed its name to the Cliff Young Australian Six-Day Race. What was the key to Cliff's success? It goes by various names: determination, perseverance, persistence, tenacity. It means keeping one's eye fixed steadfastly on a goal and not stopping, no matter the difficulties or obstacles, until that goal is achieved. So why do I tell you stories about these incredibly successful people? Because you're no different than they are. You have the ability to do things that are beyond your imagination even right now. And this capacity of developing your persistence, developing your perseverance, developing grit is foundational to moving that ahead. So what does it look like? How can you increase your perseverance? Well, remember that Napoleon Hill interviewed the 500 wealthiest people in the world when he wrote his book, and he came up with 4 steps that lead to developing that persistence. You ready? Here they are. Number 1, what do you want? What is your purpose? How badly do you want it? You have to want something. What do you want? Now, I bought a guitar 20 years ago because I wanted to learn to play guitar. But I didn't want to learn guitar badly enough to actually learn. My desire just wasn't big enough. So what do you want? Number 2, what is your specific plan to get what you want, and are you continually acting toward that plan? Number 3, are you surrounded with positive thoughts and blocking out negative influences? I'm telling you, mindset matters in a huge way. And number 4, who can help you on your journey? Who can be an encourager to lift you up and build you up? Because there are plenty of people who want to be quick to criticize, but you don't need to be that guy. You don't need to be surrounded by those people. You need to be surrounded by people who will encourage you. And I love what Hill says. He says, "Fear is a chief enemy of our success." And listen to this. The surest cure for fear is forced repetition of acts of courage. See what he's saying here? He's saying that fear is our chief enemy of our success. And the surest cure for fear is not to just stop being afraid. It's not even to be courageous. He says it's forced repetition of acts of courage. You know that concept of fake it till you make it? If you're afraid, taking action will extinguish fear. I've mentioned before the Wright brothers are my geek heroes. I love those guys. They were amazing. They were completely convinced that powered manned flight was possible in their lifetimes. And nobody had done that before. It had been tried over and over and over again, and everybody had failed. This idea was so shocking that one of the brothers, who wrote a letter to the Librarian of Congress, who was looking for research that might help him, in the letter he actually said, "I am not a loon, but I believe this is possible." He knew how crazy his dreams sounded to other people. But these guys had that definite goal that Hill was talking about, and they were focused on doing whatever it took to get there. I'm amazed with their perseverance. They were incredibly persistent. They had grit. Oh, my goodness. They had failure after failure after failure after failure after failure. Everything they tried failed. Over and over and over and over again. And at one point, one of them despaired and wrote, "The problem of manned flight is so difficult that man may not fly for 1,000 more years." But they persevered. And just 18 months after that low point, a couple of bicycle mechanics from Ohio did exactly what they set out to do. And how did they do it? They did it by persistence, by grit, by perseverance. They repeatedly faced their fears, and they set out for success and would have nothing else. And you can too. What's the thing you want? What can you do to invest in action to get it? Now, I want to talk for a minute about action, because I think sometimes we don't capture it, just how valuable action is. When it comes to achievement, we tell ourselves that hard work matters more than talent, but we don't really believe it. If we really believed that was true, we would keep working hard. We would persist with more grit and more effort, but we get sidetracked, we get distracted, we get tired, and we quit. We quit before we succeed. It's critically important to take action when we realize that effort is exponentially more important than talent. Now, as a math guy, I know the definition of exponential, and I don't use that word casually. I really mean it. Angela Duckworth says that all success begins with the development of a skill. So what does it take to develop a skill? And Duckworth's argument is that skill is created when we combine talent with effort. Talent times effort equals skill. You can have talent, but without effort, you'll never develop the skill. I've got some musical talent, but I didn't put any effort into the guitar. And there we have it. You can have effort but no talent. You're not going to be able to be effective. It's the combination of talent and effort that creates that skill. But having a skill doesn't mean you're an achiever with that skill. So what does it take to go from skill to achiever? Achievement comes when we take a skill and we combine it with more effort. Duckworth says the formula for achievement is skill times effort. So in this formula, we actually multiply by effort, and then we multiply by effort again. That's the definition of exponential. Talent times effort leads to achievement. Now, let me unpack that just a little bit. If I've got a great talent, but I only put in a little effort, I'm going to have a little skill and probably not much achievement. But if you have a little talent, perhaps a third of the talent that I have, what hope is there for you? Well, because effort is the exponential multiplier, even starting with a little talent, you can outperform me in a big way. There's a saying that says hard work beats talent when talent won't work. I think that's right. So let's say you put your talent in combination with effort, and you invest three times the amount of effort I do. You take your talent and multiply it by three, and then based on Duckworth's formula, you'd multiply by three again. So you're doing three times the effort I'm doing, but your work counts for three times three, nine times as much work as mine. Effort matters. So we're getting ready for your personal action plan. And as we're preparing for that, I just want to take a moment or two to review what we've talked about in this lesson. We don't want to work with liars. People fundamentally do business with people they know, like, and trust. We need to be able to be trusted by other people. What is it that allows us to be trusted? It's character. Character is what people look to when they want to see whether they can trust that you will do what you say you will do. Are you trustworthy? Really? Or are you just telling yourself a bunch of BS? Do you maintain the BS, a belief system that gives you permission to drop the ball, to blow people off and not finish? Do you give yourself a break, or are you honest with yourself about your performance? If you do find that you cut yourself a break, be honest with yourself about that and be gentle and easy on yourself as you fix it. Trust is built when what we experience matches what we expect. So, how can you experience yourself doing the good things you expected yourself to do? You got to be able to make promises to yourself and keep those promises. That is it. That's it. Keeping those promises is like building muscle. Nobody's amazing at first. We need time to build up our strength. So how do we build up strength of character? Making small promises and keeping them. It's as simple as that. Unfortunately, it's as hard as that, too. And that leads us to Duckworth's research on grit, perseverance, persistence. If we want to build the skill of our character, the skill of doing what we say we will do, we need to take whatever talent we have today at following through and combine that with effort toward making promises and keeping promises. And if our track record today for following through is not great, even if that's the case, our effort will overwhelm our talent soon enough. Our effort multiplies itself and multiplies by the talent that leads to skills and lead to achievement. So for this lesson's action plan, what's one promise you can make to yourself and then keep it? What's the smallest baby step you can commit to and follow through? Maybe you're a couch potato today. Don't commit to running a marathon tomorrow. Start small. Maybe walk 1,000 more steps. Maybe even 500 more steps. If you're working on weight loss, can you skip one snack today that you might otherwise have eaten? Or a second helping at a meal? One small step repeated a lot of times leads to a huge amount of progress. What's your plan to help grow your character? For me, after this lesson, because I'm learning with you on this journey, I realize I need to call my friend and give him that help that he's asked for. Now, you might be listening to this lesson with the team. And if that's the case for you, it's time for group discussion. After the call ends, I want you to take a few minutes to talk about character. What is your team good at today when it comes to character? And what's an area where it would be wise to improve your follow-through? Who on the team can take point on that, and what would happen next? And finally, for those of you who are interested in going a little deeper on this topic or spending some more time, I've got a 4-session coaching program on the book Developing the Leader Within You 2.0. Now that book, version one of that book, was the first book that I read that really helped me to understand that I was responsible for my growth, and it changed my perspective. And it opened the door for me to think more critically about how to be ready to grow and what to do and how to do it and how to make sure that it worked. And I'd love to spend time with you in that book. The cost is $249 a person. And in 4 sessions, you're going to put together a plan for your career growth that's going to outline what to do and how to do it. You're going to expand your thinking about becoming a better leader and being ready for more responsibility. When opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. So why not start preparing now? If you're interested, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.